Welcome to Ghost of a Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Lignato. I'm an astrologer, psychic medium, and animal communicator, and I'm going to give you your weekly horoscope and no bullshit mystical advice for living your very best life. Welcome back to Ghost of a Podcast. This week, we have so much happening astrologically and a couple announcements. Let's start there. So I'm really thrilled to be doing another live in-person event coming up soon on Sunday, May 5th from 1 to 6 p.m. at the Humanist Hall in Oakland, California. I'm going to be speaking at Radically Fit and Gemini Moon Botanicals event, Queer and Well, Cosmic Connectedness, a QT BIPOC Wellness Fair. As we continue to imagine, live, and build the liberatory futures we dream of, Queer and Well aims to nurture ourselves and community, as we know our self-care is inherently tied to our collective care. Queer and Well centers BIPOC vendors, body workers, organizations, and leaders, and brings together a spectrum of nourishing offerings for the mind, body, and spirit. You can learn more through the link in the episode description. And if you are local, I hope to see you there. Also, the day before, on May 4th, I am doing a live webinar that I'm calling Pluto Party. Pluto Party, understanding Pluto in the birth chart and by transit. I am really excited about teaching this class, and I want to thank all of my patrons who voted to have me teach this topic. I called it Pluto Party because I feel like people are so scared of Pluto, and that's understandable because Pluto does govern over trauma and survival mechanisms and other things that are authentically scary. And we are going to talk about some of that scary stuff, absolutely 100%. But also, I want us to understand the complex issues that Pluto governs over so that we can practice being present for them within ourselves and in our lives. This workshop is going to be 90 minutes long. And if you can't attend live, don't worry about it. You'll get the replay within about 72 hours of the class itself. You can register through the link in show notes or on my website. Tickets are available on a sliding scale. So you can go learn more about what you can expect from the class through the link in show notes. And I would love to see you there. Okay, that's it for my announcements. Now, this week, we're looking at the astrology of April 21st through the 27th of 2024. And we know Mercury's retrograde. We know that the eclipse has passed, but we're still feeling reverberations of it. And we know that the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction brought massive developments in the world and likely within you. And for some people, that's going to be really obvious. Like, you're going through just seismic shifts, like really big shifts. And for other people, you know, you might not be noticing it as much. It might be happening on a more internal or subtle level. They're both good. What I want to kind of just like bring your attention to is that this transit, which we will be feeling the effects of, you know, it's the start of a 14-year cycle, and also we'll be in the immediacy of the transit through mid-May. This is a time that is meant to shake things up, open us up to change, and not just random change, but liberatory change. Stay open to those themes. As much as this transit may have like tweaked your nervous system and you may be feeling just like zingy, do your best to get and stay grounded so that you can receive the blessings of this transit, of this life. Now, you probably know that this podcast is a joy for me. I love making this podcast. It's this vehicle through which I get to share my life's work, which is using the tool of astrology and using my intuitive gifts to help people. And what is especially cool for me about this podcast is that for the last, you know, 3 decades, I have been doing one-on-one consultations. And through that lens, it's not exactly the right place for sharing my understanding of the world through the lens of astrology. That's called mundane astrology. And I really do love using astrology both for personal growth, but also for understanding our place in the world and the time that we're living in, and related to that, how we can best engage. Now, that said, I'm not going to beat around the bush. I believe we are living through incredibly dire times. And that judging by the astrology, not only of this moment, but that I see upcoming over the next couple of years, things aren't going to get better quickly. Okay. This is a time for us to cultivate stamina for participating in the world and in our lives in a way that actually works. You know, my primary motivation for starting Ghost of a Podcast was I saw what was coming, and I wanted to be able to give you tools and inspiration for living with greater kindness and empathy towards yourself and others while in exceptionally pressing times, to understand your interconnectedness with the world around you and to treat that with the respect and consideration that it deserves. Now, I'm always going to be concerned with and do my best to center marginalized and vulnerable people and communities through my work. And I'm absolutely not always going to get it right. Like, that is a guarantee. I want you to know that my motivation for talking about the effects of the moon on your emotional development in eclipse season, or Saturn and themes of depression and wisdom, or wearing a mask in public indoor spaces, and the importance of creating a world in which people living with disabilities are safe, right? So that we create communities that are safe for all people, and advocating for people in Palestine, people who are living through a harrowing genocide. My motivation for talking about each of these things and all the things I talk about, it's all the same. What happens to you personally and what is happening to people across the globe from you or in different communities within your same town, they all concern you. They concern all of us. And when I was starting this podcast, I saw that we were entering into harrowing, challenging, oppressive times. And I know that one scared human is a scared human that may act in any kind of way, but a crowd of scared humans are more likely to stampede. In other words, we are not great at sorting through defensiveness, fear, our triggers. None of us are, right? It takes so much effort and labor to be able to tolerate our most toxic, ultimately, I guess, Plutonian emotions, right? Our indoctrination. It takes so much effort to work through those things and to keep our humanity. And what I want for you and for myself, for all of us, is to be able to sort through our fears and our anger and our defenses and the ways in which we have been indoctrinated by systems that are cold-blooded and restrictive, so that we can grasp our humanity with both hands and act in ways that reflect our humanity. And as frequently as we can to do this in public and in private spaces, and whether or not anyone else is looking, whether or not it changes the world, right? All to say, my hope is that this podcast is a resource for you, but also that you are using other resources to be able to center empathy in practice. Empathy for yourself and the difficulties that you may be having in your personal life. Empathy for yourself and the difficulties that you may have in coping with or confronting the evils of the world, the terrible fucking things that are happening in the world, and the things that may happen, right? That big, scary what if, what comes next. With this time of Pluto in Aquarius, it is an important time for us to be intentional about what we give our attention and what kind of attention we give it. And we'll talk more about that because we have a very Plutonian full moon in Scorpio happening this week. But I want to ground you into care and empathy. I feel that so many people of conscience who see the suffering of others and really fucking care can have a great sense of guilt over having a good day, thriving in some ways, succeeding in some ways. And I want to say that other people's suffering is not helped by your suffering, right? That's not solidarity, actually. In order to participate in the world over time, right, to not get burnt out by the atrocities of the world, we must find ways of tapping into joy and gratitude over guilt, to be able to acknowledge and even rejoice in the miracle that is life, that is the sun shining, that is the natural world, that is your capacity to connect with others and have it feel really lovely. The work is to keep on going. The work is to keep on going. And part of that means not forgetting to live, not forgetting to love and to be motivated by love, because hate and fear will eat you up and spit you out. Being motivated by hate and fear, it's the work of the interjected perpetrator. It's taking the tools of oppressive systems and eating them and drinking them and letting them course through you. That's not what we want. That's not what we deserve. Find ways of centering empathy and care and love and allowing those things to motivate you, not in an airy, fairy, you know, thoughts and prayers kind of way, but in a catalyzing, forceful way that empowers you to righteous action. Okay, let's talk about a fucking Venus conjunction to Chiron and Sun square to Pluto. Okay, this is a real big, intense bucket of energies. On Sunday the 21st at 4:49 a.m. Pacific time, we have Venus at 20 degrees of Aries and 9 minutes, meeting up with Chiron, same degrees, right? We also have the Sun at 2 degrees and 4 minutes, forming an exact square to Pluto at 10:02 a.m. And the Sun is now in Taurus, and Pluto, of course, is in Aquarius for a very long time. These transits, while they are exact today, we have been feeling their energies build, and they will, you know, stay with us for the next several days. And both of these transits are really provocative. They kick up deep and intense energies. Now, I've heard feedback from a lot of folks on Patreon that they have a hard time understanding the difference between Chiron and Pluto, in as much as it's related to trauma and healing. Chiron is an asteroid, and it sits in between Saturn and Uranus to give you a sense of its vibes. It is associated with material reality, right? Like our shared understanding of reality. And as associated with that, it is connected to our core wounding and trauma and pain. It is an asteroid that relates to that wound that doesn't ever fully heal, but we learn how to work with it, to bring awareness and care to it so that we can live with it in healthier ways, so we don't use that core wound to hurt ourselves or others. Whereas Pluto, also related to trauma and traumatic experiences, is about the shadow side of our psyche. It's our survival mechanisms. It is a compulsive and driving energy. Plutonian wounds can be healed, absolutely can be healed, but it takes being willing to kind of walk through fire to do it. So that's just like a little amuse-bouche to speak to the difference between these two important celestial forces. Now, let's start by talking about the Venus conjunction to Chiron transit, exact on the 21st. Now, this transit is really confronting. It confronts us with core wounds around feeling lovable or loved, how we relate to others, and how we receive the love and care or not of others. When Venus and Chiron meet by transit, we tend to get confronted by our fears and insecurities around our value to ourselves and our value to others. And because this is in Aries, this has so much to do with our identity, our sense of self, our bodies, potentially even our kind of sexual and romantic relationships or our sexual and romantic worth. This transit, especially if you have something at around 20 degrees of Aries or cardinal sign, and the cardinal signs are Aries, Libra, Cancer, and Capricorn, this transit is likely to confront you with some really deep insecurities. What's going to be important is that you're intentional and conscientious about what you're giving power to. It is important that you prioritize things that are actually important to you. There are so many ways that because we're in pain, we distract and we focus on the superficial thing, right? Venus stuff, right? We focus on the surface of things, how they appear to others. This transit Venus conjunction to Chiron is an opportunity for you to align with what actually holds value to you and to center and prioritize showing it love, showing it care. Easier said than done, right? This transit, in conjunction with the other transits of the week, is meant to show you something of yourself that is hurt, that is not whole. And that is not bad. I want to say that is not bad. As you know, what is hard for you is not what is wrong with you. And there is a way that in our insecurity, in our shame, we can tell ourselves that what is hard for us is what is wrong with us. And that's just not the case. I mean, sometimes there's an overlap and sometimes there isn't. So this transit is an opportunity for you to align with love and your values when in the presence of your fears and insecurities, to be kind to your own pain. Let's not forget that this transit is inherently relational because we're dealing with Venus. And so you are likely to have to navigate through your relationships. And I'm talking about your personal relationships, but in 2024, we're also talking about parasocial relationships, right? We're also talking about community-based relationships. Although Venus is more of the one-on-one style relationship than, you know, the one-on-many relationship. And this transit can find you in a position where you feel so shitty that you start fixating on what other people are doing wrong instead of staying with your own pain and your own struggle to live with, embody, and center your values, the things that you think are the most important. This transit can kick up, you know, some really rough feelings in your relationships. And this is happening so that you can come to greater self-awareness and embodiment. It's not fun, but that's what the transit's about. And so whatever it is that comes up on the 21st, but seriously, like all fucking week long, this isn't the time to stick your head in the sand. This isn't the time to evade and avoid. Instead, do your best to show up. Show up for what you're feeling. Show up for your relationships. Now, in regards to how this is likely to show up in the world, it's not great. It's not great. Venus is related to, you know, the economy and our values. And this, alongside the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, can indicate really rocky times in regards to the economy and potentially, depending on how it hits your birth chart, your finances. So there is that. And within that, if it impacts you personally, again, what is it that you value about money? About your finances? How are you participating in your life and within the larger systems that you live within? And how does that reflect your values or not? These are core questions to be asking ourselves during this transit. Now, unfortunately, in regards to the ongoing violence that is happening all over the world, this is absolutely the opposite of helpful, you know, and unfortunately, what we see here is, you know, the danger that existing systems that are set up to marginalize and repress women and trans non-binary folks, they're likely to be working as they were set up to work, which is not great. So we want to pay attention to what's happening in the world so that we can find our way of engaging with it and struggling over the course of time, not just on this transit, to bring about more equitable and just conditions in the world. Now, this transit is overlapping, as I said, with the Sun square to Pluto. And this transit is such a kick in the cooch. Sun square to Pluto is an intense transit, and it can kick up resentments, pettiness, obsessiveness, fixations, and terror. And because it kicks up these complex, deep survival mechanism feelings and thoughts, it's activating, and it activates people. And then if I'm activated and you're activated and everyone around us is activated all over the world, then what can happen? We all act out. And so on a social level, we may see scared or angry mobs acting out. People with power abusing that power. This side fighting really fucking aggressively towards that side, and that side fighting really fucking aggressively back. It's not bad. It's not good. It's fucking intense is what it is. Because energy is energy, my loves. Energy can be used, it can be abused, it can be healing, and it can be destructive. And each of us has only so much power in the world, but we can use our limited little spark of energy to affect things with as much intention as possible. But again, to this I say, check your motivations. Make sure you are not only motivated by anger and fear, because when we center anger and fear in our motivations, what we tend to get is more things to be pissed off about and more things to be scared of. Now, on a more personal level, this shit is activating. It's very activating. You may have intense experiences that kick up some of your survival mechanisms in a really big way. And Pluto is related to control and feeling out of control. So this is likely to affect you in some meaningful way around your sense of control and agency in your life. This transit will often kick up power struggles. And these power struggles may be really important, right? Like you may be having a power struggle with a person or a situation that the struggle's actually helpful. It's important to you and who you are, whether it's to, you know, what you believe in or to your base security and survival. But a lot of times with the sun square to Pluto, we are triggered. Those feelings of like, I have to fight for my life are triggered, but really it's a power struggle and it's not really about your survival. And so these kinds of transits, sun square to Pluto, is when we run the risk of acting out in ways that perpetuate our trauma patterns. When we act out in ways that perpetuate our trauma patterns, we are reacting in a core, meaningful way to our history of trauma and not to the situation as it is in the moment. This can find you being a dick, basically, you know, being a dick to other people, being a dick to yourself, and doing it because it feels like there's nothing else you can do. Ugh, fucking Pluto. And so what I want to remind you of is a couple things. The first one is, if you find yourself obsessed, if you find yourself acting in ways that are manipulative or dealing with somebody who is acting in ways that are manipulative towards you, if you are fixated and gnashing your teeth and pulling your hair, if you're in that kind of state, know you're in a state of Pluto. And when it comes to Plutonian feelings, the more you resist, the worse it persists. So I'm not saying give in to your worst and least healthy impulses, but I'm saying sit with what's actually happening under the surface so you can better understand what's got you so worked up. If the answer to what's got you so worked up is so-and-so did X, so-and-so did Y, then you've got more work to do, because deep psychological and spiritual triggers like this require that you know what's activated in you because of how you feel and not because of what other people are or aren't doing. Now, of course, there are ways in which this does not apply. This is general advice on a podcast. Let's be realistic, right? So there are going to be situations where this is not going to apply. But in general, what you want to be able to do is to identify your own feelings, to own your own feelings, so that you can have a greater sense of agency around how you hold and react to those feelings. And if we all did this, there would be so much less abuse in the world, for real. Okay, so one more thing I want to say about this transit. If you struggle with addiction, and you know, there's a really big umbrella there of addiction. There's seems like there's more things than ever to be addicted to. I mean, substances, the internet, starving yourself, feeding yourself, whatever. There's like a bazillion ways to struggle with addiction. And if you're somebody who does struggle with addiction, this transit can really trigger that. Again, it is an opportunity to practice sitting with the feelings underneath the self-destructive impulse. If you can practice tolerating those feelings enough so that you can, you know, get more information, that, I know it sounds so small, but that's where transformation lives, right there. That's where transformation lives. And if you can't, that's okay. You know, you can try again later. But this transit is compulsive and addictive in its very nature. So again, you might want to put some supports in place, reach out to people you trust so that you can lean on them if you get particularly triggered around, you know, whatever addictive behavior you may be struggling with. You don't have to go it alone. And when it comes to Pluto, because it governs our core survival mechanisms and shame, what we will often do is isolate ourselves and try to do it all on our own. And that is antithetical to how it works. Pluto makes us feel isolated and alone, like we're the very fucking worst. And the truth is, Pluto is in every single person. And that means we all share that feeling. And when we share that feeling, when we actually like come together and share those feelings with people who are trustworthy, it can be transformative. Like truly fucking transformative. This Mother's Day, the Paired app is the perfect gift for that special mother figure in your life. Instead of asking them to do more emotional labor, you'll be taking the initiative to connect in a meaningful, life-giving way. To use the app, you and the other person, it could be your mom, it could be your bestie or the person you're dating, whoever you want to connect with, you both download the app and then pair together. Every day, Paired provides the questions, quizzes, and games you need to connect with the person you love. You don't need to be in the same room to play, and it only takes about 5 minutes per day. My forever fiance and I tried it out, and it was super fun. Share the love this Mother Day by going to paired.com/ghost to get a free 7-day trial and 25% off if you sign up for a subscription. That's paired.com/ghost to sign up today. Let's give the gift of connection this Mother's Day. A happier relationship starts here. Unlike certain other deodorants, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid, so it works a whole new way. Lumi delivers 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet. It's truly a whole body deodorant. It's also baking soda free and paraben free. Choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, my favorite, lavender sage, or toasted coconut. Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. I would personally recommend their acidified body wash. It is fantastic. As a special offer for my listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code GHOST for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's GHOST at LumiDeodorant.com. It's important to me that the supplements I take are of the highest quality, and that's why for several years now, I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because their team is always trying to find better ways to source and test the best quality ingredients. Quality for AG1 isn't just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. Taking care of my health should not be complicated, and AG1 absolutely simplifies this by replacing multiple health supplements. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes probiotics and prebiotics. If you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/Lagnato. That's drinkag1.com/Lagnato. I just happened to be recording this ad on 420, and luckily, you can keep celebrating all week and beyond. Via Hemp has got it all. Dealing with anxiety or stress? There's a gummy for that. Want to set the mood in the bedroom? There's a gummy for that too. Their best-selling High Love Gummy is a unique blend of pleasure-enhancing cannabinoids, libido-strengthening herbs, and a low dose of THC. They also have zero THC products. If you're like me and THC isn't really your bestie, you can still take advantage of their CBD line, which I'm personally very into, with their products designed for sleep, focus, and energy. Head to viahemp.com and use code Lagnato to receive 15% off plus one free sample of their Sleepy Dreams gummies, 21+. That's V-I-I-A hemp.com and use code Lanyato at checkout. Please support the show and tell them I sent you. Celebrate 420 the right way with Viya. Now, listen, that's not all. Because on Tuesday, April 23rd, we have a fucking full moon in Scorpio. 4:49 p.m. Pacific time. We've got the moon at 4 degrees of Scorpio. We've got the sun at 4 degrees of Taurus. And it's forming a T-square to fucking Pluto. It's forming a T-square to Pluto. My loves, this is a pain in the ass. This is challenging. This is hard. This is emotional. So let's talk about it. A full moon is always a time for release and letting go. And Scorpio is a very intense zodiac sign. This is a time where we can do a big release, a big letting go. The trouble is that because of the intensity of this particular full moon, you may find yourself struggling to know what to let go of and what to hold on to. And this is where being able to navigate the intense activation you're feeling, the intense emotions you're feeling, it's key, is really key. Now, there's a lot of things going on in this full moon chart, but I want to ground you into the sun in Taurus has us identified with the certain ways in which we like to keep the peace, be stable, have security. And the moon in Scorpio is just like, I need to fucking be myself. I need to be alone. And then both of them forming a square to Pluto can trigger, again, deep survival mechanisms, shame, resentments. It can put us in profound emotional connection with deep fears that we hold about ourselves or about the world, about our relationships, about our place and our safety in the world. So it's hard. I mean, it's hard. It's really hard. And as you will hear me say 7 million times about Pluto in Aquarius, we must strive to be deeply intentional about what we give our attention to. When we get so stirred up emotionally and psychologically, we tend to give our attention to our strongest emotions and impulses instead of our most honest ones or our wisest ones. And of course, I want to point you towards your most authentic and honest emotions, your wisest parts. But in order to do that, you need to create some space inside of yourself and even within your life to sit with your feelings so that you can kind of sort through them. Now, because Jupiter and Uranus are still very close to each other, they're within, you know, less than a degree of each other, we are really stimulated here. And because Neptune and Mars are really close to each other in Pisces, you are likely to be feeling fucking exhausted and burnt out and overwhelmed and like just checking out, just disassociating. And then on top of that, we've got North Node, Mercury, Chiron, Venus, conjunction in Aries. And that has us activated and wanting to push forward and just figure things out and just know what to do and to fucking do it. So we have a lot of really dueling impulses. And it is worth noting that this full moon is in a fixed sign and it has a fixed sign T-square. But we also have three planets in Pisces, a mutable sign, and we've got four placements in Aries in this chart. So there is no zodiac sign that's not going to be affected by the astrology of this time. We're all in this shit together, my loves. But true story, if you have any kind of fixed sign placement, so again, that's Aquarius, Leo, Scorpio, Taurus, anywhere within a few degrees of four or two, you're going to be really feeling this fucking full moon. You're going to be really, really feeling it. And listen, this full moon is an opportunity for catharsis, for transformation. But you may lose something, something you're highly identified with, something you feel you need. You may be threatened, and that threat may be real, and it may be a threat to your security and your safety, and it may not be, right? But make no mistake that full moons bring emotions to the surface so that we deal with them, so that we do not carry unnecessary shit with us everywhere we go. Every full moon is an opportunity to release attachments that no longer serve us, that maybe never served us. And this very Plutonian full moon in Scorpio is an opportunity to do just that. Now, because of how intense this transit is and its proximity to eclipse season, you may be feeling very intense, right? And that means that you're likely to be, you know, on the verge of acting out. And because you're going to be feeling that way and everyone else around you is going to be feeling that way, it'd be very easy to have bullshit power struggles with people because you just need a place to fucking throw your shitty feelings. This full moon is pushing you to dig deep inside of yourself to find the truth so that you can act in ways that honor your needs for security and stability and diplomacy, you know, Taurus, and allow you to experience and express your deep and complicated, messy emotions, Scorpio. And to deal with what's real, to get messy with what's real. This full moon is asking you to let go and to let go of what no longer serves you and what may have never served you, to let go of maladjusted coping mechanisms, to let go of your drive towards perfectionism or for your need to always be right, whatever it is, this transit is supposed to be messy. It's supposed to be intense and scary. And it's also supposed to be an opportunity for us all to release binds that hold us. And a lot of these binds, they're deep inside of you, right? They're not necessarily things of the world. Now, again, in the context of world events, this is not a good look. We are going to see more violence. We are going to see more abuses of power. And I wish I could say something else from the fucking deepest part of my guts. I wish I could say something else. But this transit triggers intense power struggles and abuses of power. This full moon, it looks fucking intense. But if you can stay with your feelings, if you can stay with your emotions, instead of having a knee-jerk reaction where you move away from them, you repress them, you distract from them, you can align with your innermost central parts that are not motivated by fear or by resentment or shame or whatever the fuck else, but instead by clarity of intent. And whatever your clarity of intent is yours. We are living through scary times. You're likely to be going through your own shit in your personal life. I mean, this astrology would make it really hard for most people to not be going through pretty intense shit in their personal lives. That intense shit may be really wonderful and yet still triggering, or really hard and triggering, right? But the point is, we're all pretty triggered. This is a time to be present with, to confront the emotions, impulses, and beliefs that are hard for you to own. That's the point of this week's astrology. That's the point of this very intense full moon. And I share this information with you because, you know, it's a fucking horoscope. Let's go. But I don't want you to use this information to then run to your chart and be like, oh my God, it's going to torture me in X, Y, and Z ways. That's not the point. That's not the best use of astrology, in my view. There are plenty of ways of using astrology that are really focused on the analysis, but I want to focus you on the lived experience. Don't project into this. Be present. You don't need to live in the future. You don't need to live in the past. Be right here, right now. Show up for what's real, even though it's scary. Show up for what's real. That might require that you put your head up your ass for a little while and, you know, you get a little self-involved as you struggle to be present with yourself in a healthy way. It might mean that you reach out to others and you come to greater presence and healing through connection with others. There's not one way of doing it. There's not one way of being. But this astrology wants you to feel your feelings. This is a time that is confronting and frightening. And the more that you can show up and show up with kindness, giving the bulk of your attention to that which is constructive and healing and moves the needle forward, the better. Now, this would be a terrible fucking time to do drugs for the full moon, okay? Like, consciousness-raising drugs, recreational drugs, not so much. This energy is too intense, provocative, and unpredictable, honestly. I wouldn't do any kind of major magic-y things either for the same reason. If your focus is on releasing attachments and releasing beliefs or habits that are internal, this is a powerful time for ritual work. But I would warn you very passionately against trying to control other people in any way, shape, or form, even if you think it's for their best interest. Don't fuck with other people. Focus on your own self. That's the best way to use this energy cleanly and to get the most benefit from it. Okay, now that, my loves, brings us to the next bit of astrological data. And this is thankfully good news. At 5:54 a.m. Pacific time on Thursday, April the 25th, Mercury goes direct at just under 16 degrees of Aries. Huzzah! So you can start making your plans. You can start signing your contracts, all that kind of good stuff. We're going to be in a retro shade period for a couple of weeks. Don't worry about it. Just enjoy that Mercury has gone direct. I'm going to tell you one last thing about the astrology of this week, which is that on Sunday the 28th, so the first day of next week's horoscope, we'll have an exact conjunction between Mars and Neptune. Now, I referenced that when I was looking at the full moon chart, right? The Mars-Neptune conjunction. We're going to be feeling it this week, all week, even though it's not exact until the 28th. So I wanted to give you a couple words about the effects of the Mars-Neptune conjunction in Pisces. This transit is fucking draining. It is exhausting, and it is a transit that is associated with burnout and exhaustion and demoralization. So you may be tired, like tired, like world weary, body doesn't want to do a damn thing kind of tired. And that's not lazy. That's your body telling you something about what it can hold, what it can tolerate. I want to encourage you all week, this week and next week, to prioritize tending to your physical body in the simple, basic ways that you know your body needs. If you know you're somebody who doesn't do well if you don't eat every 3 hours, then by God damn it, eat every 3 hours. If you need a nap, take a damn nap. I'm talking about the simple, basic things that you can do to take care of yourself. If you have the privilege and ability to do these things, please do them for yourself. Mars conjunction to Neptune can leave you feeling a little paranoid. It can have you putting other people on a pedestal, all this kind of shit. And it can kick up, you know, anxiety in your spirit, anxiety in your body. So we will talk about this more in depth next week, but it is important that you know that these energies are at play at the same time as all these other transits that are happening in exactitude that I've already told you about, so that you can make sure that you are supporting your body, because that's the best way to navigate this transit, is by nourishing your body so that you can deal with the energetic components of this transit in a more graceful and effective way, right? Whenever we're dealing with transits to Neptune, we got to deal with boundaries. Make sure you are not creating situations where you're draining your own energy by not tending to the needs of your body in whatever basic ways you can. And know that in the drama and intensity of this week's transits, that Mars-Neptune conjunction is just like, it's just feeding paranoia. And in the context of, you know, social and global issues, it's religious extremism. It's patriarchal, a religious extremism to be specific. So, you know, again, the world's a garbage dump on fire. And what's happening inside of each of us as individuals really fucking triggered. So do your best to fortify yourself in simple ways, right? So that you can nurture yourself and the people and situations that are important to you. That's the fucking assignment. Now, I'm going to run through the transits one more time, but fear not, because every week I drop a transcript of the podcast within 24 hours of the episode drop. So you don't need to track all the damn details as I share them, because you'll have it all in writing soon enough. Okay, so on the 21st, we've got a Venus conjunction to Chiron and a Sun square to Pluto. On the 23rd, full moon in Scorpio. On the 25th, Mercury goes direct, and we're going to be feeling that goddamn Mars conjunction to Neptune all week long. And that's your horoscope, my loves. The astrology of this week is likely to trigger disappointment, loss, insecurity, and other really difficult emotions to process. Do your best to maintain your integrity by being present emotionally, even though that means feeling bad feelings. I want to remind you that bad feelings are not inherently bad things, and feeling good all the time is not inherently healthy or good. Let's not demonize difficult to experience emotions, but instead center and prize living in integrity, even when it's hard. I hope you take really good care of yourself and others this week and every week. And I will talk to you in just a couple of days for my midweek episode. Bye-bye.